Bruchim habayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Shlach. Wonderful to be together, not in the Eichel, but in the Gan. And the Shira said, L'zecher Nishmas u'le'ilu Nishmas, your parents, Rebecca Basarina and Leon ben Rachel. May their neshama tayers have a lichtiget Gan Eden. The Shir, Parsha Insights, Parsha Shlach, is also being said, and hopefully the chizuk will indeed be as is chus refuah shalema for Shoshana Yischa Baskava Yehuda, someone who is now going through emergency surgery in Yerushalayim. And I was just asked that we who are listening to it and who are online, please have in mind her name. I'll say it again, Shoshana Yischa Baskava Yehuda, having emergency surgery now in Yerushalayim. Bezes Hashem, may the learning that we're about to have from this year indeed be a schus for her ganzer refuah shalema. So honored that there are so many people in the Gan. Let's make the people who are listening on the phone line the type of jealousy that's permitted, as in kinas soifim tar b'chachma. We are almost sold out, absolutely sold out here in the Gan. So whether you're looking now or you're listening or will hear when it's sent out, hopefully you'll use all of the Divrei Torah to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Let's begin with part of a part that we've said in the past. It is the last pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel. I ask everybody to look inside Parsha Shlach. Once again, the last pasuk, Perek Yud Gimel. Kolei is now shouted down. And the Meraglim are explaining everything that they saw in Eretz Yisrael, and then they end by saying, famously, that means that they said we were like chagavim, grasshoppers in our eyes, and so we were grasshopper in their eyes as well. And I know what I'm about to say is something we have said countless times. It is very famous. I'm comfortable saying it again as a springboard to get into quite a bit of material. Many point out, I believe I remember saying it in the name of the Telzer Rosh Hashiva Rav Gifter, from others as well. The Kotzker, I believe, says something similar to the idea that if you take a look, or perhaps it's even brought down in the Chumash here, does the Chumash bring down, here he says on the Kotzker, that the Kotzker Rebbe, that is, that really if you think about it, the order we would think is just the opposite. First they should say that they viewed us as grasshoppers. And since they viewed us as grasshoppers, we felt like grasshoppers. Isn't that the correct order of the way things work? So the pshat is such a powerful pshat. It is so true in life, in self-esteem, in everything you need to know about your self-worth. The pasuk is teaching us here what took place was just the opposite. Vanehi ve'einenu kachagovim. We felt like grasshoppers. We felt inadequate. And once we perceived ourselves that way, then the natural progression was v'chein hayinu be'einehem. They viewed us as grasshoppers. You know why they viewed us as grasshoppers? Because that's the way we presented ourselves. That's the way we viewed ourselves. And when you view yourself as the grasshopper, i.e. with low self-esteem, maybe I can't, I won't be able to, I can't stand up to whatever the report may or may not be, then others will perceive you that way as well. I guess you could say it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Might I add, many years ago when I said this pshat, and this we already said, but now we're going to bring out new nekudos, might I add that Rashi is zeyer meduyik very much to this pshat we just said. Because if you take a look at Rashi on these words, please take a look now inside, b'chein ha'yinu b'einayim, Rashi says, shamanu, we heard Oimrim, they said about us one to the other, nimalim. You are like ants. I always wondered, who said anything about an ant? We said grasshoppers, chagovim, not nemolim, not ants. But I think, like the pshat that we just said from our gift or from the Kotzker Rebbe Zechus Yogan Aleinu, it's very beautiful. Once a person perceives themselves with low self-esteem, very little self-worth, then already it starts spiraling out of control. It's not like it's tit for tat. Well, I felt like a grasshopper. They viewed me as a grasshopper. Once you present, I'm only a grasshopper. I've given up. There's no hope. I don't know. I don't have much worth. Then it's not shava b'shava. Oh, that's the way they'll perceive you. They'll perceive you as even less than that. And maybe that's what Rashi is teaching us according to that pshat. You presented yourself and you felt v'anehiva einenu kachagovim. Well, then when they look at you, they don't just think of you as chagov, they think of you as even less than that, nimolim, and it becomes a vicious cycle spiraling more and more out of control. I once had that ha'ara, and I think, Baruch Hashem, it is emes lamito. I think it is an accurate ha'ara. Otherwise, you have to wonder, why did Rashi per se say nimolim when the pasuk said chagovim? And so what we clearly take out from this pshat is the incredible importance of a person not having that low self-esteem, giving up, turning themselves as into I am entirely hopeless and worthless. I do have to bring out, as we mentioned this past week in the Shabbos Drush, and I'm so grateful to you for giving me that shot from the Lamude Nisan. I believe you said actually it's in the first volume of your Sefer, the Lamude Nisan, from Rav Nissen Alpert, such an incredible pshat. I'll quickly repeat it now, although we did say it in the Shabbos Drasha, which means that you probably heard it and hopefully for sure remember it, but it ties into what we're saying now very well. Yes, a person has to not allow that lack of self-esteem and that loss of hope to set in. A person has to have a healthy sense of belief in themselves. I can, I can, I can. So the Lamude Nisan brings it down very beautifully. In last week's Parsha, says Rav Nissen Alpert, when Moshe Rabbeinu was described as the humblest of all people, the perfect people, the Pasuk says, you don't have to look it up now, but I'll at least tell you where it is, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, again, it's last week's Parsha, the Pasuk says, Vahish Moshe Onav Me'od, Mikola Adam Asher Al Panei HaAdama. He was, Moshe Rabbeinu, exceedingly humble, more than any person on the face of the earth. Rav Nissen Alpert points out, why does the Pasuk start by saying the word Ish, and then say he was the humblest, Mikol HaAdam? Why switch from Ish to Adam? Why not just say, Vahish Moshe Onav Me'od, Mikol HaAnashim? Why switch to Adam? Rav Nissen Alpert's Zatzal says such a fabulous deher and insight. He says, Ish represents a man of accomplishment, of prominence, of achievement. Not so Adam. We know that every Jew is called Adam, as Chazal tell us, Atem Kruyim Adam. Everyone is called Adam, whether you, maybe you have no accomplishments, maybe you've done nothing meaningful in your life or no achievements of note, whatever it might be, you're still called Adam. So an Adam is certainly way lower than an Ish. Now, Rabbi Say, for an Adam to have humility, well, that's not really so difficult, because if he doesn't have any achievements or accomplishments or any other extraordinary qualities, so then he may naturally be humble, what is to boast about. But an Ish, the higher that a person is, I don't know, there's certainly a lot that you could boast about. Hello, you're an Ish. And Moshe Rabbeinu was called Ish Elokim. He was not just any Ish, person of prominence and of achievements and accomplishments. He was on an extraordinary level. Ish Elokim. Yet the Pasuk is testifying, says Rav Nissen Alpert, such an extraordinary, insightful observation. Vahish Moshe Onav Oid Mikol HaAdam. Adam. In other words, he wasn't someone that was just considered an Ish, a humble person, exceedingly humble on his level. But even amongst Adam, he was still exceedingly humble. Now that's extraordinary. For an Ish, the quintessential Ish, to still be exceedingly humble, Mikol HaAdam, meaning to have that extraordinary sense of humility, now that is so noteworthy. I believe you said it was the Kutzker who points out that the Gemara says that the Torah was given on Har Sinai, and everybody enjoys saying because Har Sinai represents humility. Now, if we're looking for humility, why not give the mountain, why not give the Torah and the Luchos in a valley, or at the very least, flat land? Why give it on a mountain? If you're looking for humility, give it in a flat land, or maybe even a valley. No, because as we said a moment ago, the valley and the flat land, that may just be, like we use the expression, representing the Adam. That's a level, that's not what we're talking about. We want you to have achievements. We want you to be a har. We want you to be a mountain. Albeit Har Sinai was a small mountain, but a har nonetheless. Meaning there were accomplishments, there were achievements. You could almost say, tying the two pshatim together, Har Sinai was an ish. But the point in life is to be an ish, but still maintain extreme humility even amongst the Adam. Don't let it get to you. So to give it in a valley or a flatland, that's not saying much. But to give it on a mountain, albeit a small one, is showing that although I'm in ish, but I still don't allow it to get to me, I remain a humble person. That's what we said this past Shabbos. What I would like to bring out from that Dvar Torah, both from the Limudei Nisa and the Kotzke Rebbe, is in order to have that level of ish, or for that matter, any level of ish, you have to believe in yourself. Now let's do this from now till the end of the shiur in different levels. The first level to achieve that ish and not to remain in Adam, or to mimic, if you will, Har Sinai, certainly not to have the approach of the Meraglim, Vanehi ve'einenu kachagovim, because as we said when we started the shir, if that's your approach, then it's just a vicious cycle that spirals out of control before they say nimolim. The first thing I would have to say is a word that may be one of the most powerful words we know. And that word is called hope. It certainly could be expressed in terms of emuna, in terms of bitachon, but I am talking about never giving up hope. Because once a person, chalila, does give up hope, now it doesn't mean we know how the story is going to end, and only the Ribbono Shel Olam decides, he runs the world, it's our job to do our hishtavlus and to daven, but part of that hishtavlus, part of that hishtavlus, we don't know how it's going to end. But part of that hishtavlus is not to give up hope. But if you take a look, I think it's based on the words of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If you take a look in Shemoneh Esrei, that bracha that was inserted of the Lamal Shinim, where we hope that those who are the informers should be cut down, etc. We say so many things in that bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the Lamal Shinim. What is the first thing in that long list of things we hope happen to be the Lamal Shinim? The first thing we say is, Al Tehi Sikla. Al Tehi Sikla, don't let them have hope. Obviously, we're being taught that when a person no longer has hope, that's already the point of no return, and from there, everything is a natural progression. So on the flip side of the coin, obviously, we're being taught of the importance of not giving up hope. Once again, I know I said it, I'll repeat it again very quickly. How something ends, or what the Rebbe Shalom decides, that's not in our control at all. But our hishtablus and our davening is to have that hope. I saw a beautiful pshat brought down from the Ishbitzer. Wow, to be able to say in Parsha Insights, I already made a bracha. If you're wondering what I'm drinking, I already made a bracha. So there, we said that. We just let everybody in the Gan and listening live and hearing the recording know that I just took part of a drink. The Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer says a very, very powerful word. He speaks about how destructive abandoning hope is. In Baba Metzia, we find one of the most famous sugyas in Shas, that of Yiyush. There's Yiyush, Yiyush Shleimi Das, but let's just deal with basic Yiyush. Yiyush means a person loses something and he's Miyayush. He gives up hope on the lost article. It is one of the most famous sugyas of Shas, found primarily in Baba Metzia. The Gemara teaches us that when a person loses something, it does not mean that he's lost ownership. as long as he hasn't given up hope of finding it, it's still his. And therefore, anyone who finds that article is obligated to return it, and it goes back to the original owner. The Ishbitzer says, I don't understand fundamentally and practically how that works. How could you say that a lost object is still considered the property of the owner? He can't use it. It's not by him. He's not deriving any benefit from it. He doesn't know where it is. So what in the world is his connection to the item that it's still considered his property? The Ishbitzer says so beautifully, the one significant connection between the person and his article is hope, the antithesis of yiyush. And as long as the owner has the hope, harbors the hope that he'll recover the article, it's his! It's his! It remains his in the fullest sense of the term. But once he feels a sense of yiyush, hopelessness, he's abandoning a hope of ever recovering the article, then his connection to the article has been severed, and now whoever finds it is able to keep it. He's no longer the owner. What an insightful shot from the Ishbitzer, how yiyush fundamentally works. But the point is that as long as yiyush didn't set in, I don't have it, it's not near me, I have no benefit, no use from it, but you didn't give up hope, you didn't give up hope, it's yours. That's your connection to it. Hope is your connection. When hopelessness sets in, that connection is gone. And then the other owner, I shouldn't say the other owner, I should say the one that finds it, now owns it. What a meiridik of art of the Ishbitzer, the point, the importance of hope. Now I realize I'm not trying to give it over in a light way. It's not an easy thing. It's something as the person has to work on. It comes from working on our emuna, working on our bitachon, doing our hishtadlus, davening to Hashem. But I am pointing out the importance of not giving up hope. And when a person starts with that on the basic level, that's the way to build, to reach the point where you believe in yourself. We're trying to get to the level, let's remember, of being an ish, even amongst the Adam. Not flatland, certainly not a valley, but a small mountain like Har Sinai. Being something that has that ish quality, and yet with the ish quality, not letting it get to us. Maybe the first level is hope. The emuna and the bitachon that we are maminim b'nei maminim, we continuously hope. Hasn't that been the secret of what's kept us going in a 2,000 year gullus almost? I should say an almost 2,000 year gullus. Now let's take it to the next level. This pshat that I'm about to share, I think we said a few years ago, but it's certainly worth quickly repeating because I feel it's the next level. We're trying to get to that level where we're not kachagovim in our eyes, because then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, but to have a very healthy sense of ish, a very healthy sense of ish. Level number one, we just did hope. Level number two, if you take a look a bit earlier in the Parsha, and now I refer you to Perek Yud Gimel, about 10 psukim earlier, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayalu Vanegev, they ascended, Vayovoy Ad Chevron, he came to Chevron. What do you mean he? You just said they. So Rashi points out, of course, the famous Rashi, hopefully you're looking inside, Kolev Levada Halach Shem. The only one who went to Chevron, meaning to Aramas HaMachpela, to Kivrei Avais, was Kolev. Minishtateach al Kivrei Avais. And he davened. That's why it became the singular, because the only one who went there was Kolev. I believe this was said by the previous Novominsky Rebbe, not the Novominska Rebbe that we were zeicha to know passed away a few years ago. His father, I believe this pshat is from him, such a powerful pshat. When Kolev left, you'll see he became mechuzik. He became fortified. We're not talking about the end result, but he left with chizuk to go ahead and try to convince Klal Yisrael, together with Yeshua, not to listen to the report of the Meraglim. And that which was seen, don't interpret it that way. And he gave over with an infectious contagiousness in a positive sense. He was trying to bring the people to listen to him, and he left Maris HaMachpelah very, very mechuzik, very, very fortified and strengthened. If I ask you, Rabbi Yisai, what gave him the sense of chizuk that he left a different person when he entered Kivrei Avos, Kivrei Tzaddikim, Maris HaMachpelah? Most people learn what Rashi said. He davened there. And after davening, you leave mechuzuk, I can do this. I'm not going to be afraid of the report of Nephilim of giants. I think what I just said the last 30 seconds is the way we generally learn. But the previous Novominska Rebbe, as I heard it, said so beautifully a different shot. When he was davening by the cave of Avram Avinu, and you could imagine he stopped for a moment. And he said, one second, let me get this straight. There's a report that out there, there's Nephilim, there are giants. But what is it that I'm afraid of with that report? I'm davening now by the cave of Avram Avinu. Chazal say about Avram Avinu, Ha'odom ha'gogo sheba'anokim, ze Avram Avinu. The anok of all anokim. The giants of all giants, is Avram Avinu. So what am I afraid that there's a report out there of anokim and of giants? I'm a descendant of Avram Avinu. His qualities and his midos are mushrush and entrenched in my DNA. And if he was the giant of all giants, part of that being a giant, part of that greatness, is mushrush and entrenched and ingrained in my DNA. So I should be afraid of a report of giants when my Zedek was Ha'odom HaGadol Shebanokim, the giants of all giants? And that, says the Novominska Rebbe, is what made him mechuzah and give him strength. I'm not afraid of that report. Because do you know who my grandfather is? You know who my grandfather was? He was a Adam HaGadol Shebanokim. That means part of that quality of being a giant is within me. So why in the world would I be afraid of a report about giants when I come from the biggest giant that there is? That, I believe, is level number two. For some of us, it may be our parents, our grandparents. For others, it might be our rabbeim, or those leaders or teachers that we've had. But for all of us, the tzad hashava, the commonality is, we're all descendants. Did you not say in Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov? This is our, they're our fathers, the imois, they're always and imois, not of a few select. They're everyone's avos and imois. That means that everyone in Klal Yisrael has a chelek of that anok, of that giant, of that greatness within. We've said many times, quickly we'll say it in about 20 seconds, the great Mir Mashkiach Rabbi Rucham used to say, it was just the 90th yard site, oy to the person who doesn't know their chesroinus. If you don't know your chesroinus, how are you ever going to change? Come on. Oy to such a person if you don't know your chesroinus. But oy vavoy 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 if you don't know your milos. If you don't know how great you are. If you don't know that you're an ish. If you don't know that you come from a Adam HaGadol Shebanokim, how are you ever going to go ahead and accomplish what's destined for you to accomplish? So I think the second level, after realizing the importance of maintaining and strengthening our hope and emun and bitachon, is realizing and being cognizant of the innate greatness, where we come from, It gave chizuk to Kalev, and it should give chizuk to us. So please, like, close your eyes for a moment. And at a time of a challenge or a difficulty, remember these words. That is ingrained and entrenched in my DNA. And if it's in my DNA, then I could take part of that giant, bring out my milas, and I'm not going to settle for 10 cents on the dollar. And finally, if you go back to the pasuk that we started with, Vanihi ve'ineinu k'chagovim, right before that pasuk, there's a comment regarding the land we passed through it, went to spy it. Eretz Eicheles Yeshvehi. Now, to be fair, what is the regular translation of those words? Eretz Eicheles Yeshvehi. It means that it's a land that devours Yeshveha, those who dwell there, its inhabitants. But a number of the Hasidic Sfarim say so beautifully, a homiletic way to read those words. Let's say it again. Eretz Eicheles Yeshvehi, while I just told you what it literally means, could also homiletically be interpreted as Eretz Eicheles, a land will devour and eat a person up, Yeshveha, if you just remain a Yeshev. A Yeshev means you just sit. You don't do anything. You remain stagnant and you just every day know. A person who is Yeshveha, in other words, he's not someone who does and tries and goes, etc. Someone who's only Yeshveha, that person, Eretz Eicheles, the land could devour and consume such a person, because that person is only a Yeshev. We're not here to be a Yeshev. We're here to be a doer, to make sure. I believe it is Rebbe Chanan. Yes, I believe it's Rebbe Chanan Wasserman. Hashem Yimkom Damoy. I didn't have this in my notes, but just remember this pshat. I think is a fabulous tie-in with what we just said. Eretz Eicheles. You know who the land devours? Yeshev. You're only a passive Yeshev. Want to hear one of the most fabulous pshatim ever? If you take a look towards the end of Sefer Bereishis, the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOifim, wow, Bereishis, we haven't spoken about that for months. The Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOifim were given very different interpretations. The Sar HaMashkim was given a very favorable interpretation. The Sar HaOifim, just the opposite. What was it? What, pray tell, was it that Yosef HaTzadik heard and saw in the dreams that he interpreted the Sar HaMashkim so favorably and the Sar HaOifim so negatively? I believe it's from Rabbi Chanan who says so powerfully. Because if you take a look at the dream of the Sar HaMashkim when he gave it over, he was very active. He was a doer. He was anything but a passive Yeshev. He said, I took the grapes, and I pressed the grapes, and I poured the wine. He did, he did, he did, he did. And if you're a doer, if you're active, you're not a Yeshev. And in that sense, he knew to tell the Sar HaMashkim good news. By the Sar HaOifim, you take a look at his dream, when he gave it over, he sat very passively. Everything was done for him. The bread was in the baskets. The birds took the bread. But the person himself in the dream was entirely passive. He was a Yeshev. And a person who's a Yeshev and who's entirely passive is not getting the Sar HaMashkim favorable report. And that's the importance of being active versus being passive. Being a doer versus being a yeshev. Now I want to say, as we said earlier, make it crystal clear. The end results, only the Ribbono Shel Olam decides. There's an Olam HaEmes, there's an Olam Shekulei Tov, and there's an Olam to earn zechusim for nitzchias, for eternity for. I saw a quote that somebody once passed a kever, a tombstone, where it mentioned the person who died, and apparently the tombstone, the kever said, born in 1810, died in 1890, and lived for 50 years. I can't tell you if that grave does or doesn't exist, but you do know 1810 to 1890 is not 50 years. I don't know if that grave really exists, but the point certainly is that the inscription was to explain that the person existed for 80 years, but he lived for 50. And so the Arichas Yomim that we've spoken about so many times, that's something that we are in control of, in the sense that we try our hardest. What Hashem decides and what the end result is, that's only up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yismach HaShem Lez Blevish Ratzas Hashem Hisokum. But we're not here just to exist. We're here to live. We're not here to go through like the Sara Oifim, but the Sara Mashkim. Not to be passive, but to be active. To do as much as a person possibly can. Because if a person is a yeshev, eretz echelas. But a doer, that's a person who's taka alive for however many years they were able to live in this world. I hope, Be'ezus Hashem, that certainly what the Meraglim said, vanhi ve'inenu kachagovim, that can't be. But there has to be the feeling of ish. Albeit, as we said already twice, the ish of Har Sinai. But to have within you the ish amongst an Adam. The first step is to have that hope. Because remember, v'lam al-shinim alti yisikwa, that's the first thing you take away, then everything spirals out of control after that. But the hope, the belief, the positivity, and by the way, that can be very contagious, that vivaciousness of hope, it gives enthusiasm to others. It gives enthusiasm to us. It does. It gives enthusiasm to others. Secondly, remember that the Avos and Imois planted within us the Milus, the greatness, the part of us that's a giant. And finally, to be as active and as alive as we possibly can. And in that schus, may we taka bizaycha to live all of those years, to accomplish so very much, to have the hope and the belief and the hatzlacha, and to instill it in others.